All right, hello everybody, and welcome to
Nerd Alert!
Girls.
All righty. Hey everybody, nice to see you all. I'm Jen with a G. How's it going?
And I am your other host, Bridget, pronouns she, hers. And I want to take a moment to say that as residents of Los Angeles County, we acknowledge our presence, including virtual presence, on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of Indigenous people who are variously referred to as the Gaborlino Tungva people and Keech Nation.
Rock on, rock on. Wow, yeah, here we are, folks. And before we begin, I'd just like to say... oh my gosh.
All right. Wow. So the Loki Sylvie ship sailed, and I did not think there would ever be a ship that I anti-shipped as much as Sharon and Steve. And yet, here we are.
Here we are. Seriously, folks, this is literally... We've already gone on and on and on about why this is just a no TP for us. But man, to see it happen against our wishes, just, it hurt. It physically hurt.
Clearly our anti-manifestation powers do not work. So good to know. Good to know.
Are we... Good to know, but at the same time, I'm still not happy. I was really hoping it would not happen because it's just too weird and it happened. And luckily it just was the kiss and that's all we got. And I just looked away and tried not to throw up the brownie I was eating, you know, but you know, I'm still alive somehow.
Why? All right. Let's backtrack a little bit because We've set our piece about the Sylvie Loki ship because it needed to be said.
Yep.
So I want to start with one thing. What's with all the quotes at the beginning? Well, okay, for one, the audio for like when the Marvel credits came on is different than usual.
Yeah. That was so bizarre. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're playing all kinds of random clips from random characters, and some of them were like pretty awesome badass quotes and such that you would expect to hear. Others I was just like, huh, you know what, I don't know. I'm not sure if you saw a pattern in the audio, the Marvel audio clips I should say. Did you?
Not in particular, just like the fact that they were different, you know.
Yeah, I heard from most of the characters. I even heard a Hank at some point. Yeah, I was just like, hey dude, how you doing?
Yeah. That's so I was like, oh, okay, guess we're doing this. Got it.
Like, it makes sense to do that for a finale of a Marvel series and everything, but I can't recall them doing any different for Falcon and the Winter Soldier and WandaVision. But it's also been a while and I have short-term memory loss, you know, so like, I don't know.
That was something that made me curious. I'm like, huh, I wonder why they made that decision. But then what was more curious was the smattering of quotes from other famous people afterward, like Neil Armstrong saying, like, one small step for man, which, okay, outer space, exploring the moon, new realms, you know, it's like, all right, thematically, I could maybe see that. But then it was, like, quoting other people, like, this person I hadn't heard of, you had to look it up, right, Jen? Greta Thunberg?
She's an environmental activist. Like, I had seen commercials of her work and such, like, on Hulu of her documentaries. Like, she's all for climate change, folks, so respect.
And then there was like other quotes like from Malala, from Mandela, you know, we have fought for the right to experience peace, Maya Angelou, I will rise. And like, and then it goes into like that sad quote from Vision about what is love, if not grief, persevering, which just like cut me. But I don't understand, because I was trying to find the connection between all these quotes, and like, for the most part, most of them are, like, activists, people who fought for human rights, environmental rights, you know, social justice, racial justice, people who, you know, are known for that.
Yeah.
And it just seems like an odd decision for this particular series, because I've not thought of Loki in that context. And, like, in this final confrontation, we know that, you know, he and Sylvie are supposed to face off against, like, whoever is, you know, really behind the timekeepers, right? And it's like, Are you trying to make the implication that these Lokis are on the level of Nelson Mandela? Like, it's weird that you're making this connection through these quotes. I don't understand.
I know, right? Like, a lot of question marks from this show, like, from start to finish. And just, this last episode just raised the biggest question mark yet, because throughout the entire episode, it had the theme of free will versus control or whatever, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, is this a religious thing that you guys are trying to get into? Or is, what are you trying to get at here? And you're thinking, but wait, are you kind of trying to imply that Loki and Sylvie are fighting for the sake of free will? But definitely did not see it like that, because they each went on this mission to go against the TVA, because the TVA screwed them both over in different ways. So this is like a revenge quest. This is personal. What they're doing is wrong. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is revenge through and through. Through and through. They were not doing this for the better good.
No. And, like, you could argue that Loki starts to stand up for that at the end. He's like, wait, we don't actually know, like, what chaos we will unleash and how bad it will be. You know, so you could make an argument for that, but, like, it was sort of like a change of heart in the middle of the conversation that just felt, to me.
Yeah, and honestly, I would make the argument that it's less about the greater humanity and more for, I gotta save my own ass, because this guy, he's crazy. And the possibility of unleashing millions of him? I don't think so. This guy literally knew my every move. He has it documented. And there's more of him? I don't think so. Like, that's how I saw it as personally, but it could be argued either way. But regardless, Sylvie, revenge. Pure revenge, plain and simple. She wanted to kill the guy who forced her to go on the run for years and such, you know. And girl, yeah, definitely. It's not going to give you your life back, but, you know, you do you. Especially since this guy was kind of a turd. But otherwise, definitely no doing this for the good of humanity or whatever. Nah. Revenge. So why the quotes? Why all the activists and human rights quotes? And granted, you know, I know Neil Armstrong and Vision's quote weren't quite human rights or whatever, but they're both profound nonetheless.
Profound and yet still not totally connected to what, I mean, I was about to say not connected to what the show is going for, but to be honest, I'm still not sure what the show was trying to go for. Because right? You're right, there was these, like, religious undertones of, like, I felt like it was something about, like, established religion and like you know, the rules and the dogma, you know, that you think of, unfortunately, with a lot of, you know, religious institutions these days. And you know, and I'm saying this as a person of faith, like, but you know, and but even like the fact that his title is like He Who Remains is a little bit of that sort of like divine-esque sort of vibe to it. But, you know, but he's just a man, and he only knows things because he studies a lot, you know, and it's like, it's all about free will, and, or about, you know, what does Renslayer say to Mobius, like, you know, the only one with free will is the one who's in control, and I'm like, that's an interesting conversation, and it sounds like, it feels like, oh, that could have been a really deep thing to explore, actually. Because that is a real tension, like, even when I think about, like, my own faith, about, like, yeah, what is free will, and yet, you know, God being, like, you know, sovereign and having all this power, and yet people having certain, you know, choices, but how much choices do we have, though? And, like, you know, these are really interesting questions. Like, I would love to have peeled back some of that through this series. That would have been so interesting, but I don't feel like they really did that at all.
Yeah, and the thing is, even though we're promised a season two, I don't really see them answering those questions nonetheless, because it's like you said, we have no idea what the show is doing, what it wants from us. I can't determine the tone, because we've talked about it before, that it's like, it seems like all these comedy writers are on here, and it seems like the show's kind of sort of trying to make us laugh, and yet we're kind of pulled into these deep thinking questions that are just brought up but never answered. So yeah. I don't quite expect any of these philosophical questions to be answered or at least poked at in season two. I could be wrong, but with the way things are going right now, I just don't see it happening.
I mean, they had a whole season to be even just begin answering these questions or trying to answer these questions or asking more questions on top of those questions, which honestly feels like a lot of conversations that I have about existential, you know, things. And I think that's totally valid, but that's not what happened. It was just kind of like it was brought up and then dropped. It was maybe brought up again. Oh no, it's dropped again. And yeah, like it's done thematically, storytelling wise, but also through characters. I mean, okay, I know this is skipping ahead, but I'm so angry that Mobius doesn't recognize Loki at the end.
Oh man.
Like all of that character development, that relationship development, just gone.
Dusted.
Which takes me back to the beginning of this Loki series. Where you think, in contrast to where Loki was in Thor Ragnarok and how far he had come as a character to become, frankly, way more compelling to me, and then it's like, oh no, he's reset to the Avengers version, and I'm like,
what?
You know, which is, you know, I guess it's not technically the series' fault because that happened because with Endgame and Infinity War. But this is the premise that the show first stood upon, is like, oh, yeah, let's have a version of Loki that, you know, was pre-Thor's love redeeming him. I'm gonna lay it out like that, because that's honestly what his journey was for me. And the fact that it's like, nope, reset, like, it felt like, you know, this whole series is about, like, reset. Like, resetting the timeline, resetting through the, you know, the temp pads and, like, making everything back to where it was again. And I'm like, well, wasn't the series about breaking out of the usual, out of the MO, out of what you expect? Because if you just keep going back and undoing the conversations you set out to have, and undoing the character development you began, or undoing even just, like, again, like, a philosophical line of thinking that could have been really interesting, instead just kind of like, oh, what's the, oh, like, it reminds me of, this is a weird connection, but, like, Miraculous Ladybug, you know that YouTube video about, like, the...
Oh, I already know what you're gonna talk about, yes.
Okay, I can't remember exactly what the phrase is. The
status quo-yo.
The status quo-yo. Which, if anyone doesn't know Miraculous Ladybug, like, it's a kid's show that the conceit is, like, oh, Ladybug, Cat Noir fight the villains, and then, like, they defeat them, and then, like, Ladybug throws her lucky charm in the air, and everything's reset to where it was, all the damaged buildings, you know, anyone who was hurt, everything is just, like, back to the way it was. And it's, like, the status quo-yo, everything's back to where it was, no one remembers anything. And it's, like, oh... That means there can be no progression or really that interesting of a character development or any plot. That's how this series, that's how Miraculous Ladybug is going, and it's also how this Loki series is going. And I am getting kind of tired of it.
Yeah, this whole episode was just frustrating. And even though, like, realistically speaking, I knew we weren't going to get everything we wanted. Like, we discussed in the last episode what we're hoping for and everything. And granted, some of those things were a little outlandish, I'll admit that. But some things I'd like to think were not too much to ask for. I just wanted some questions answered, and I'm left even more confused than when I first started out. Literally, I just... Why? What is this show doing? What is this show trying to accomplish? And I really don't know what to make of that ending. Like, Bridget and I were talking about, like, wait a minute, like... What happened? Was it reset? Or I wondered if maybe Loki was thrust into a different timeline where he and Mobius never met, or maybe, like, when Sylvie killed He Who He Remains or whatever, like, did that reset things? I don't know. There's, like, so much chaos, but like you, Bridget, I was very disappointed when Mobius didn't recognize him. I literally was hoping for, like, a moment where, Loki, oh my god, you're alive, you know, and the two share, like, a bro hug or something. I don't know, man. Too much to ask, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, you know what was apparently too much to ask, though? Mobius on a jet ski. I
honestly,
that was the
I
one thing.
I forgot about that.
That was the one thing that I was like, all right, you don't have to give me anything. Just give me Mobius on a jet ski. And
nope.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, because, like, y'all remember from before, I was like, give Hunter B-15 an actual name. Oh my gosh, you know? And I figure, like, nah, they're not going to do that to me. It's barely season one. Like, they're not going to give her an identity. What am I thinking? But the jet ski? Come on! More questions than answers? I didn't want that. I wanted answers, folks. I wanted more answers than questions. Did they get my order wrong or what? Jeez, I wanted at least some clarity. I've got nothing. I've literally got nothing right now.
All right. I don't want to stew in negativity for the whole podcast, so just briefly, was there anything that you did like about this episode?
Let me think for a sec.
I'll go first then. That sword holster. I didn't mention it the last episode, but like I was looking at Loki walking around with that sword holster and I was like, dang, he looks fine. It's a shallow thing to say, but like the thing is I have a thing for suspenders and like the sword holster is just like just a step below it, but it's still pretty high up there. And I was like, oh yes. And Jen was like, oh, it makes his chest look buffer. And I'm like, that's what it is. That's exactly it. Yeah, I guess that's why I like suspenders too, though.
Oh my gosh. It does look really cool and badass, though. Like, I'll admit that. Like, yeah, okay. I've kind of got a thing for the sword holster across the back, too. It just looks cool.
It looks cool. It looks awesome.
What was the other thing you said that was good about this show? That the music just...
Oh, yeah. The music slaps. Like, it is so good. It is, like from the intro music to, like, you know, the end credits music, I'm just like, this is amazing. Like, the mood is so perfect, and it feels Loki-ish, if that makes sense.
If our boy were to have a theme song music or whatever, that would be it.
Yeah, I don't, like, I'm trying to find out who did the music.
Yeah.
Oh, Natalie Holt. Yeah, Natalie Holt did amazing. You were an awesome composer.
Like, I wonder if her shoulders hurt from trying to carry the show while it was crumbling around her.
Dude, yeah. Yeah, Natalie, no. You did an awesome job. The music slapped every time, and I just want to say that every time, for every episode. The only time I didn't like the music was when Loki and Sylvie were kissing and like was playing the dramatic, swelling, romantic music, and I was like, oh no.
No, 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 nobody wants this. Yeah, just, but otherwise, you are so right, the music was incredible from episode one to the finale here. It was all perfect for the show, for Loki as a character, and just really, whenever the title card would come up with Loki's name, you know, that music, just oof. I must admit that's pretty awesome. You're right. Yes, definitely awesome. I like that how they casted Owen Wilson. You know, dude just killed his role as usual.
Yeah, he did do really good. Like, really, really good. I mean, I like Owen Wilson. I'm not, like, in love with him or anything, but, like, because he's in a lot of, like, goofy movies that I've seen him in, but he was good at, like, doing kind of the more serious kind of play for this series.
Literally, my affection for him comes from Pixar movies. Mm-hmm. Even if, like, Cars isn't my favorite Pixar movie, just... Y'all already have my affection if you're in a Pixar movie. But anyways, yeah, he did Mobius very well because you could still see that goofballness seep through, but he still was serious when it counted. Like, that whole conversation with him and Renslayer, I was just like, yes, bring it home, baby, bring it home. I'm also glad they didn't kill him off. They're not allowed to do that to me. I'm already clinging.
Yeah.
Let's see, anything else? Oh, I like Miss Minutes. You know, having Tara Strong was awesome. Thank you. And am I surprised that she was there at the end at the Citadel at the end of time? No, I wasn't. I made that prediction episodes ago, so I feel a little vindicated.
You did guess that, and I, when you said it, like, oh yeah, the clock is evil, and I was like, yeah, yeah, I could see it, and there it was.
Sure enough, there she was. Tara Strong, you voice acting genius. Thank you. So there's positives here. There's positives. Just, well, I guess we'll see what season two has to say. I'm trying not to be hopeful and hope for more clarity, because apparently this show takes what I want and, like, stomps it right in front of me. So, you know, just... All right. Okay, Marvel. I'm guessing that the What If show will be a lot fun, a lot more fun to watch this time around.
Oh, I hope so. I need it desperately. But let's stick to Loki for now, because I could talk about the What If series forever, and we haven't even seen it yet.
Fair enough. Okay, what should we talk about specifically? Should we talk about He Who Remains? Should we talk about Sylvie's choice?
Well,
Renslayer's choice?
Let's talk about Renslayer Mobius, since that was kind of a subplot kind of conversation. When she looked at the, like, ring on the table, we were both just like, Mobius, why? But then you were all offended, like, no, you don't get to be sentimental. Like, you killed him. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And, like, okay, I saw that they were close and they cared about each other, but I wasn't, like, invested in it to, like, I don't know, feel, like, to feel, okay, so I felt, like, the hurt of Mobius being gone, even though I knew he wasn't gone, from looking at that ring on the table, but at the same time, it was like, well, I don't care about Renslayer at all, and I didn't even care that much about their friendship, so, like, it was this weird moment of, like, I care, but I don't care, I don't know what to say.
I'm just annoyed that not only, again, that she did get sentimental, oh, like, no, you do not have that right. It's like, for me, it's literally when two people are dating, but then they break up, and then, like, they break up because the ex cheated or whatever, but then the ex who cheated gets pissed when their ex starts seeing someone else. I'm like, no, you have no right to be angry. You screwed this up, you know? That kind of self-righteous anger that I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And what just drove it home for me was Renslayer, when she and Mobius were going back and forth, she's like, I did what I had to. And I'm like, oh, don't spin that. I'm sick and tired of hearing that excuse. I did what I had to for the great. No. Shut up. I had to do, like, I love you, but I have to. Shut up.
I mean, shut up. It was, like, again, like, getting at this, like, the whole blind faith thing, which also reminds me, I think, in a lot of ways of certain, like, you know, ways that people, like, kind of blindly follow certain, like, laws or rules or you know, religions, as the case may be. And it's not about, like, relationship, it's about, or finding out the truth, or, like, following, you know, what your, where your heart leads you, you know. And it's just like, just following the system, and just like, well, you know. And it's like, I don't know, it's like she doesn't think to question it, right? And, like, so again, that's an interesting thing, and I find that, like, relatable and interesting, because there's something about, like, you know, this is your whole way of life before, and you followed it all your life, and you don't really want to let it go. Like, I, you know, and it's like, you know, I just have to keep going. Otherwise, what was the point of everything, right? And, like, so that's a sympathetic, like in theory, that's a sympathetic viewpoint that I find interesting to, like, unpack. You know, and again, getting this idea of existential crisis, and, like, what you've been believing your whole life, and, like, what you choose to believe now, and, like, why you believe the things that you do. And it's, like, it's so interesting. Like, it makes me think of, like, the conversation that Mobius had with Loki, and he, like, gives, like, the dogma and everything, and Loki's like, you really believe that? I thought you were so smart, but then, like, you believe that. And, you know, and so, like, you know, Mobius is like, well, you know, it's what I choose to believe. And it's like, see, these are interesting things that they touched on so briefly, but just, like, didn't go in deep enough.
Yeah, it's... they, you know, I get that sometimes shows and movies have to be careful with what they talk about, because literally most subjects nowadays could literally turn into these internet wars. Like, the world is a little sensitive nowadays. You know, you can't say certain things without someone getting offended. I get that. But the point is, bring up the questions and give your two cents. You don't have to say like, oh, this is the obvious view of Marvel. No. It's just one opinion that you could talk about, you know, and it's the chance to start the conversation, you know. These were interesting questions. These were excellent philosophical, soul-searching, existential crisis-type questions. A lot of religious undertones, but even if you were to take that away, it's like, why are we here? Who is in control, you know? Is everything that we do worth it, or can we write our own destiny, you know? It's all very interesting, and it would have been nice to hear what some of the characters had to say about it. Because even though Loki and Sylvie were kind of like, no, we'll write our own destiny, there's still that, can we? Well, shoot, can we? You know? So, again, I have no real hopes that they'll try to answer these questions in season two, that they'll probably just bring up more questions, which is such a shame, because this could lead to some very intelligent conversations and a lot of character development too. You know, it'll have characters rethinking some of things and doing things differently. You know, just it has a lot of potential to unearth here.
I mean, and Loki himself has dealt with a lot of existential crises even before the being abducted by the TVA, so like the material was there for him as a character.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? You know, yeah, you're right, because I'm thinking he, of all people, must know what that's like to realize that everything you knew was wrong. I mean, from finding out that he was a frost giant and adopted, to just realizing that there's more evil forces out there that he could ever imagine, and only to realize, oh, wait, there's this timeline, people who say, I'm an anomaly. What? You know? So this literally could have been the show's chance for him to really find himself. And I'm really hoping that he doesn't undo any progress that he did for this show. Because, I have no idea if he's in an alternate timeline or if they reset the timeline and he has to befriend Mobius all over again. But honestly, his friendship with Mobius, it was awesome. It really helped him grow as a character, because he not only found someone who could challenge him, but someone who was intelligent enough to get him to pause and rethink some things. I don't want that all to go away just because he and Mobius don't know each other now. So hopefully his character development continues to progress, you know?
How do you feel like he has developed as a character, given this series?
Well, you said it aptly yourself in the chat that we were going through in Teleparty, where he and Sylvie, they're just about to go through the Citadel, and Sylvie's kind of having a moment where she's about to kick down the door, but she's like, no, I need a moment. And he's like, yeah, okay. And you were like, well, that's abnormally, like, what was it, emotional?
Thoughtful.
Thoughtful, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, abnormally thoughtful. And I'm like, it is, isn't it? Because, yeah, we get it. He's got a little crush on her or whatever, and we can make the argument that he only cares because she's a Loki, but really, Loki, we saw ourselves that Loki is the type to kind of think himself so superior that he doesn't care about what other people think, even if it is another Loki. I mean, we saw it when all those Lokis in the void were fighting each other, you know, over dominance or whatever. So the fact that Loki, he could be capable of caring for another person, it's there. And we saw it ourselves in, like, the second and third Thor movies and in Infinity War, but, like, we don't have that in this show. He's reset to 2012 Loki, so he hasn't exactly made that development yet, but being with the TVA, kind of buddying up with Mobius, bonding with Sylvie, and realizing that everyone in the TVA has been basically brainwashed, you see that he's starting to care. You see that he's starting to tone it down on the narcissism a bit, you know? So I honestly do see that Loki just developed as a character. He became more empathetic and a little more aware of the circumstances around him other than how it directly relates to him. You know, he was taken down a peg, if I may be so bold to say.
What do you think started that change, though? Because I feel like the show was kind of implying that it was mostly Sylvie that sparked that. I mean, I could be tracking it wrong, but that's just kind of the feeling that I got, that he seemed to get softer after that. Because I think last time we checked in about Loki and, like, caring about people, he was, like, in Pompeii saying, like, nothing matters, you know? And, you know, and Mobius was the one who had the compassion. And, like, granted, I will say that Mobius, I think, did have an influence, but I feel like the real shift kind of happened post-Sylvie, and I feel uncomfortable about that for not just the whole, like, no TP self-incest kind of deal that I feel is a problem. But even if that wasn't the case, like, let's say it's Sylvie was just some other variant of some other person. And this was the thing that brought about his change. I really hate the trope of, like, love changes a man. Like, I know that it can, you know, I obviously am, like, I believe in the power of love. I am a romantic, you know, but I also, like, think it's important to see that, like, a man is able to grow emotionally without falling in love with some lady. Like, you know, that he could be changed. I mean, I've seen, like, the trope, too, of, like, him becoming, like, a dad or a substitute dad for, like, a kid. So there is, like, that also. I also see it, like, just as much, if not more, of, like, well, he has to find the right woman to, like, improve as a person. And I just hate it so much because it sets up, like, one, like, you know, these, like, false ideals, you know, for, like, what you hope for, like, you know, people to hope for out of a romance, right? And, like, I, you know, speaking for, like, in terms of only a man and the woman, it is, like, a heteronormative context, but, like, you know, like, expecting, like, your love to change them, and specifically change him, and, like, that's the way a man can be changed. And I'm like, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, you know, but it just feels like an unhealthy way to look at it. And it also just really irritates me, because, like, a man should be able to grow with or without that, needing that romance, necessarily. Like, you know what I mean?
Nah, I know what you mean, because, like, I never liked that trope either. Like, whether it's a man changing for a woman or a woman changing for a man. Nah. People change when they want to change. Like, people don't really change. I'm a pessimist, folks. Like, y'all know I'm not into romance and such, so. Objectively speaking, I'm pretty sure it is possible that love can change a person, but the fact that they kind of went that route, I'm just like, eh. It can be argued, though, that love didn't change Loki. He changed him, because it is a Loki variant. So, like, I'm literally thinking Michael Jackson's song, Man in the Mirror, you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's just, it's one way to look at it. But I honestly thought the seeds of change were kind of there, you know, just, like, not only with Mobius, but the things that he saw when he was looking through his memories, you know, with the TVA, and he's just like, oh, shit, you know, if I were to continue to go down this path, or when he realized that the Infinity Stones were worthless and such, you know, the seeds were there. It's just, unfortunately, his adventure with Sylvie kind of made the seeds grow. And I'd like to think that if it wasn't Sylvie and someone else going on a journey with him, man, woman, other Loki variant, that eventually he would have changed for the better too. But the point is, we don't have that. We don't have that alternative. We just have what we see here. And it does seem like, oh, love changed him. Oh, shut up. That wasn't love. That was, I don't know what that was, but it wasn't love. I'll tell you that.
You know what would have been awesome? Like, if he had gone on adventures with Casey, the one who didn't know what a fish was.
That is a sweet little being, and I'm so annoyed that they just dropped his character.
They totally dropped him. Where is he? How are you, Casey? Are you okay?
Oh, I hope so. And I'm pretty sure he is, but man, they just dropped him.
I just, like, it reminds me of the Fine Franklin campaign that never came to be from WandaVision. Now it's a Fine Casey campaign. What is happening to these characters that just get dropped?
My gosh. Marvel's just like, oh yeah, they were cute for 2 seconds. Oh, hey, look, another shiny thing. Let's do this. I don't know, man. They better bring him back in season two. Is that too much to ask, Marvel? Is that too much to ask?
I think the fact that we've asked it now means it definitely won't happen.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So that's just like, that's like where it feels like, oh. And I just like, for, I think my one more positive thing, and I've said this before already on the show, but like, Tom Hiddleston is so good at being so earnest that you almost buy it. Like, you almost, you're just like, all right, forget this horrible writing. I believe you. You know, just like, I don't care. It doesn't make sense. Loki doesn't make sense. But you, Tom Hiddleston, you make total sense.
Oh, he's a sweetheart. He's such a sweetheart. He plays such a good role.
He's so good. He's really so good. I mean, every actor is really good. I do want to say that. Everyone played their part so well in terms of, like, you know, and like Hunter B-15, you know, like, you know, this character doesn't even have a name, but yet somehow also felt extremely human to me, you know, and that was a nice progression. I just, yeah, I wish Hunter B-15 had, you know, given themselves a name.
Yeah, that's one thing that Marvel does right consistently, and that's casting. Whether it's the show or the movies, they do well with their cast. They pick the right people to embody these characters that comic book lovers are familiar with, and yet bring them to life. That is the one thing that they do consistently right. So, thank you, Marvel, for finding Tom Hiddleston and for finding all the other actors of this show. They did splendid. Even for, like, Renslayer, who I was just like, go pound sand. That actress, she did good. She did real good.
Yep. And that's where I land. All right, I'm done with the positives. Do you have any more positives?
I'm happy the show ended.
Oh! Oh! Savage Wednesday. All right. Okay, well, let's get into the things we didn't like. And by the way, if anyone's listening and they really enjoyed the Loki series, like, honestly, good on you. I am so glad you enjoyed it, and I hope that, like, we don't, like, ruin the experience for you. And feel free to tune off if you did, like, unequivocally love it and you're like, they're just trash talking this show that I love. I understand. People are allowed to have different opinions. And I just want to say, you know, I'm happy for you that you like Loki. I wish I liked Loki anyway. I just felt yeah, like I needed to get that out of the way, because we were stewing a lot of negative energy ever since, like, the midpoint, I think, was when we really started to be like, all right, the show is just kind of going downhill for us.
So. right, you know, just yeah, what was it that you said, that you didn't really have high expectations to begin with?
Yeah, I didn't have high expectations, and yet I was still disappointed.
Oh, no. Yeah, literally, like, at the end of the episode, we were both just like, huh, that just happened. Okay. Like, granted, I was kind of, like, raging all over the place from where I was, but in the end, once it was gone, I was just sitting there like, okay, now what?
I don't know if any of our listeners have followed us for, like, WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but usually for a finale, I start off the podcast episode with, like, you know, inserts from, like, the show, like, with our, like, corresponding reactions when we had them. I didn't do that this time, A, because we're gonna be going on a girls trip, and we won't have time to, you know, do that. That's just required extra editing. But the other reason was kind of like, I'm not really excited enough to, like, put in this extra effort to do that. And, like, to be honest, I didn't even react out loud at all. Even in the chat, we were saying nothing to each other for, like, the longest time.
And for real. And for real, like, yeah, literally for, what was it, like, 15, 20 minutes, we were just not saying, not even, like, dumb quips or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
I just, and you would think, like, oh, you were just that invested. No, I was so confused that I couldn't even form a thought, let alone, like, put it on the chat or anything, so.
Yeah, part of me was, like, kept thinking, I'm bored. Is it reasonable that I'm bored? And then I'm like, I need to start paying attention to the show. Pay attention, Bridget. You know, this is not That's not fair to not pay attention because you think you're bored and then you're thinking about whether it's fair you're bored. And anyway, I was having...
Seriously, yeah, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was bored too, not gonna lie. Like, there was one crazy moment where I was, like, tempted to type out, hey, Bridge, can we just stop watching this and, like, look at the synopsis or something?
Oh my gosh, like, were you really gonna say that?
I was. I don't even remember what scene it... Now I remember. When Loki and Sylvie were talking to He Who Remains, that dude, there were like these long dramatic pauses or whatever, or they would just slow things down with his conversation. And I'm just like, what's the point here? Like, why are you drawing this out longer than it needs to be? Like, I did not understand it. I was bored and I was also kind of annoyed. And seriously, I'm surprised Sylvie didn't try to stick him with her sword like more times than she tried.
I did say at the end, or not even at the end, like midway through it, like I was like, I'm getting kind of tired of this lie, not a lie conversation, was how I put it. Because it was like, yeah, basically like the He Who Remains would like monologue, and then Sylvie would say, or you're lying. As if that's a really intelligent thing to say. But, you know, and like, I mean, it's, you know, fine to say it the first time, but to say it like two or three times, it felt like a billion times. But I'm just like, all right, we get it. We don't know if he's lying. We don't know if you're lying. We don't know if Loki's lying. Blah, blah, blah. You're all maybe lying. In which case, I'm not really sure who, like, why to pay attention or care. Just wake me up when it's over. Like.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it just, that conversation went on forever, and it really was just a monologue, which I'm usually not adverse to, because I love a good villain's monologue when done right, but considering that the dude was talking a whole lot of nonsense, a whole lot of confusing nonsense, I was just like, can we hurry this up, please? Just, damn, no amount of brownies that I have here will make this conversation any better or any more interesting. Like, get to the point. What are you doing? You're lying. Oh god, Sylvie, stop. We all know he's bullshitting, and if he's not, what are you gonna do about it? Clearly you can't kill him. Oh wait, he's asking to be killed? Why is he asking to be killed? Okay, your reasoning makes no sense. This makes no sense. Just give me a brownie. It's not helping, but at least I have something sweet to savor compared to what it is I'm trying to untangle here. It literally was this giant ball of yarn that I am now officially tangled up in.
Yeah, the ball of yarn did not come untangled. It did not form a plot sweater. It did not form anything than, like, a blob in front of me. And I don't have the energy to untangle it, honestly. So, anyway. But, like, okay. The reveal, though. Like, the initial reveal that, like, He Who Remains had, like, a sort of, like, Wizard of Oz kind of moment, where it's like, oh, you're just a guy.
Yeah, that kind of reveal only works in certain situations. Wizard of Oz is definitely one of them, but I was a little surprised to see him, but I was honestly wondering, okay, are we just gonna see another Loki? Is it literally just gonna be Miss Minutes, or is she just the servant, so to speak? Or is it Kang the Conqueror? Come on, let it be Kang the Conqueror. Like, literally at some point, the dude said, like, oh yeah, what am I? A jerk? A conqueror? And I'm like, are you? Seriously, just kind of glad he wasn't, though, because I would have been very disappointed if that dude was Kang the Conqueror. He was just really annoying and uninteresting.
Yeah, the conceit is like, all right, you know, okay, Wizard of Oz, all right, you weren't what I expected, and you clearly weren't what Loki or Sylvie expected, but I don't know, it was kind of like, even like, the, like, how he who remains, like, even came to be in this position, it's like, this one version of himself, like, across all these multiverses is what started the multiversal war. I don't know if I really believe that. Like,
I didn't either.
It's not that I thought necessarily either that he was lying about that. I just don't really believe in that as, like, a thing. I'm like, oh, really? What are the chances that there's one guy across all the multiverses and he's the one responsible for all the multiversal war? Like, what?
Yeah, it was a little far-fetched, and I couldn't really follow the logic of it, honestly. it just really, really, dude, this all started because one version of you got cocky or whatever and decided one ring to rule them all, or I don't know, man, but I thought it was a little far-fetched and a little bit much. I couldn't really follow his logic in general, especially when he said, like, oh, you know, if you kill me, more of me will come. And I'm like, why? How? How did you personally get the power to fix all this? That wasn't made very clear to me.
Yeah, also, like, okay, so he said he was able to, like, solve things by, like harnessing the power of Eliath, but don't, like, isn't Sylvie able to harness that power now?
Yeah. Granted, it's with Loki's help, you know, but yeah, does that mean that she's gonna be the new timekeeper lizard thing?
Well, that's, like, the part of what I was wondering at the end of this episode, where it was like, okay, we see the statue of the of He Who Remains, which I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to make of that? And, like, if the multiverse is, like, becoming a thing, like, what is she doing now? I mean, because last we saw her, she killed him, and then she was, like, on the floor crying. And I'm like, was that regret? Or is it you realizing that, like, you've done, like, what your life's mission has been for, like, eons, and now you don't know what to do with yourself, because the only other possible option, I guess, that you had, you, like, sent him away? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, because I figured that the reason that she started crying was because she realized that the revenge that she fought so hard to get and earn just kind of fell flat, because right before she killed him, she was like, aren't you gonna beg? And the dude, yeah, he flinched every now and then, but for the most part, he was not scared of dying. And I think that kind of took away from the satisfaction of killing him and everything, because honestly, if I was gonna take revenge, I want the person who I was taking revenge on to regret ever having, like, messed with me in the first place. I would want that personally. But I think it's partially because that was taken away from her, and also because it really is sort of like a what now moment. She literally drove away the one person that could have possibly understood her for the first time in eons, all because she couldn't trust him. So in a sense, like, she could have been also depressed because the dude was kind of right about, like, can you really be trusted? Can you ever trust? You know, and like, what sucks more than your mortal enemy being right about you, you know? So her victory was taken away. She has no one to share it with. It was all for nothing. I figured that's where she is in her headspace right now. Whether or not she'll get up at some point and decide, you know what, screw it, I want the power, I want the free will, I guess that remains to be seen in season two, or if she'll just go back and tell Loki, it wasn't worth it, you want to make out again? I don't know, man.
I mean, both options make about as much sense to me. I mean, she's still blinded by her anger and, like, by the revenge, and, like, you know, like, her life is nothing else, right? And then it feels so empty when even that's gone. And it's like, yeah, well, that is the journey that revenge, like, takes you on, you know? And that's why I do not personally advise it. But, you know, okay, but, like, Loki's saying to her, I mean, okay, here's the thing. It's like, can you really change? And is there free will? And it's like, for her, it was like, no, you can't trust and be trusted. And this is who you are, always. It kind of feels like that's the answer for her. But then it's like, okay, is the answer any different for Loki? And, like, he's like, I understand that you don't trust me, and I could be lying, you know, but you could see from, like, you know, the earnestness that he isn't. And he says to Sylvie, like, I care about you not getting hurt. And then Sylvie, you know, is like, you know, I'm not you, and gets rid of him. And so there's this, and he's like, really seems to be genuinely concerned, and, like, you know, asking Mobius for help, and, like, also, like, okay, so Mobius didn't know who he was, but he was still so, like, gentle, like, reaching out his arms, like, it's okay, and I just want to say that's really incredibly precious, and I love Mobius so much, but, you know, it was, like, this, like, question of, like, well, all right, so one of the questions is, like, whether Loki can change, so I guess this Loki did, I just don't know how much I tracked with that change, and then I don't, and like the fact that Sylvie couldn't trust it shows, like, I don't know, it just kind of muddled the message about like whether you could change or not as a person.
Yeah, because they have the right idea, you know, like literally this show is about Loki going against forces that basically tell him he can't change, whereas we know that's not true. You know, the idea is there. It's just the execution was a little jumbled, messed up.
Muddled.
Yeah. Yeah, what a shame, too. Because on paper, the show sounded like it could be really good. But in the end, I'm just disappointed and frustrated.
That silence was like us, but times 100 for watching this. And I wanted more than what I got. And, but like, I'm trying to even think of like how they could have executed it better. But I think it just requires going kind of back, not to make a pun about this, but to go back in time, to go back farther in the series. And, like, lay it out a little bit more clearly. I'm like, well, here's a point where you could have done this scene or had this dialogue, this deeper conversation about existentialism, and this scene where you see Loki care about somebody other than himself who's not also himself, a.k.a. Sylvie, you know? And, like, that would have made more sense to me.
Yeah, because the first episode actually did well, you know, introducing the TVA and showing that, like, the futility of the Infinity Stones, because to them it's like paperweights or whatever. Yeah. Like that was good. That was really good. That was like an excellent starting point to his existential crisis. I can't remember. I believe the first episode is also when he watched his life and he was just like, oh crap. Yeah. You know, I need to start rethinking things. Yeah. It was a solid first episode and it should have set things on track, but somehow it just got derailed along the way. Maybe they should have picked a different variant who was kind of screwing with the timeline other than Sylvie. I don't know, man.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just wouldn't have had it be a romance, and I would have had her maybe be more Loki-esque. Or maybe have her be a man. Like, no offense at all to the, you know, the actor who did end up playing, you know, Sylvie. I just, like, you know, there are a lot of reasons why it could have been more interesting, I think, to have a different, like a, you know, a man play that particular role. Just because, you know, with it being silly, being a woman and being this, like, we have to figure out what to do, you know, like, I mean, I know I already talked about this, but like with, it just plays into that trope of the woman being the only serious one, the only responsible one. And it just played into so many, like, I feel like this series played into, like, a lot of gender stereotypes.
The thing is, they did try so hard to show, like, oh, we're progressive. Yeah, Loki's totally bi, you know? Like, he's gender fluid in the comics, so he's totally bi here. And yet, he only says it. We don't see anything, you know? It's... They give us so much potential to work with, only to not practice what they preach, so to speak. And you're right, there are a lot of gender stereotypes. There was a lot of tropes in there, honestly, where I'm just like, really? You know, a lot of cliches that were thrown in there. I'm doing this for the greater good, or I can't change, I can't trust men. Oh my gosh, stop. It was all just very stale.
Yeah, that's the right word for it, and I wish I wasn't. All right, is there anything, though, you want to unpack about, like, Renslayer, though? I mean, apparently she was like, a school principal in the regular timeline, and she knew about that, because Hunter B-15 was like, we know your secret, and that's how they're able to, like, I'm guessing, like, convince the other hunters. I wanted to see a hunter uprising. You know what? I would have loved to see that too. Because we just see the one hunter being converted, you know, or in the middle of being converted. It's like, wait, Judge Renslayer? That's not Judge Renslayer. I'm going to tell you the whole thing, you know? But we don't see it. We don't see the hunter rebellion. I would have loved it. In fact, there
was...
In fact, okay, there was a moment where He Who Remains, like, had that moment where, like, there was the rumbling, right, in the building.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, it's the hunters coming. Like, he, you know, this man didn't see that coming. Because you could see on his face that, like, oh, like, I don't understand what's going on right now, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I thought, oh, this is the Hunter Rebellion. Like, I had that thought, and I was like, oh, it's not? We just passed the some kind of threshold that I wasn't aware of? All right.
Yeah, I didn't think there would be a Hunter Rebellion. I wanted there to be a Hunter Rebellion, but that rumbling, I was just like, oh, crud, are the other versions of him coming now? Only for it to be like, oh, something derailed. I now don't know what's going to happen. And I'm like, that's it?
Yeah, this was so anticlimactic. I was like, that's the whole thing, too, is like, and maybe that's why Sylvie was just like crying, because like, we're all crying, because it was so anticlimactic. Like, this guy was like a boring villain and like wasn't afraid of death, and the mission of like his life was kind of unclear, and the whole philosophy of the TVA is still unclear, and yeah no thoughts, head empty, and there's not even any, no, there's nothing to follow the meme. It's just like, no thoughts, head empty, there was no, they gave me nothing to think about.
Seriously, I just I don't even know what to do now. I felt this, like, I was gonna say I felt a little let down with the Black Widow movie, and but this is definitely a little more so. I feel like I need to watch something that is a little more fulfilling and isn't so confusing and has a more satisfying ending. I don't know, man. I'm trying to be optimistic and think like, well, there's the season 2 coming up, but then, you know, that pessimistic side of me is just like, oh, how cute. You think the season 2 is going to fix things.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, we could talk about season 2 in a bit, but I got us off track a little bit, though. Sorry. Renslayer and Mobius, was there anything more you wanted to say about those two characters, their conversation, their backstory?
Only that I didn't really even really believe in their friendship, like you said. Because, like, literally, when she was like, I had to do what I had to do, I was just thrown back to when Thanos had to kill Gamora. Like, nah, if you really loved her, you wouldn't have done it. Shut up. You know, just... it was all bullshit to me.
Hmm.
So I really don't know what she's gonna be doing now. If she, like, I'm gonna fight for free will, like, what does that mean? Are you gonna do something against the He Who Remains? Or what are you doing, lady? What are you doing?
I did think it was funny how quickly she
took him down.
He was just like, yeah, all right. I was amused by that. That was genuinely amusing. He tried.
He tried. Our boy is more of a talker and a diplomat, not a fighter.
I know, and we love him for it. I stand Mobius in my house. I don't know about you, but I stand Mobius.
I'll always stand Mobius. Just the man... I want to hug him. He won't know what to do with it, but I'll still hug him.
No, I think he's the type who would actually hug back. He would hug back.
I think it would take him a moment, though, at least. He'd be like, what? No, okay. I want another hug with him and Loki, actually.
Man, I need that. That would have been so lovely. Too much to ask for.
Always too much to ask for.
Okay. Well... yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know where Renslayer's going next. I'm not sure what Mobius and Hunter B-15 are going to do next, or even who they are by the end of the series, so I'm not even sure what, like, to even comment upon for their, like, character journeys, because if they're reset or what, I just don't know. I just don't understand what happened. Like, maybe after this, yeah. Like, I'll read a bunch of articles that explain, like, oh, this was it exactly. But this is my fresh, raw reaction as an audience member, having watched it only once, just now. That's, like, how I feel. And I feel like if it's not, like, clear enough for me to understand at the first pass without reading, like, a couple articles from, like, you know, Screen Rant, then I don't think you really did your job as the writer of the show.
Yeah, the thing is, at this point, I'm a little exhausted and I don't feel like looking up other theories. Maybe I will at some point, but I think I need a breather.
Yeah. Yeah. Who even was the writer actually? Oh, it was Michael Waldron and Eric Martin.
Okay, I got nothing, but okay, A for effort.
Yeah. B, I don't know. I say B for effort, like a B minus. There's decent stuff in there, but like it was a B minus for effort for me.
I don't know. Like, again, I'm trying to be a little optimistic here. Maybe season two will be better. I don't know what to expect from it, though. Like, I can make guesses, but I can't tell how many of those guesses are biased versus, like, okay, here's evidence of how this show ended and the direction it could possibly go. You know, I can't apply logic here. Do you
I'm
have
trying
any
to think if
guesses for
there's
season
anything.
two?
So, okay, season two, like where would I imagine this? Well, I can't really imagine how they're planning to do it because I haven't really kept good track of like what they're doing so far, but if I were to say like, all right, if I was in charge of like season two, what would I want from it? Shoot, man. I'm trying to even think and I'm having a hard time doing so. Like, for one, I would be like, well, first of all, it was a vicious grievance that Mobius was not allowed to ride jet ski at the end of this, but in retrospect, like what like last podcast episode we were talking about what we wanted out of the finale, but it did like we were kind of talking about it as if it was the series finale, I think in retrospect. Like not thinking about it there being a season two. I think just because we were both so used to like WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier kind of like ending where they ended, without like a
True,
promise of a season
true.
two necessarily. So like I will say that in terms of like my expectations, but like I would say like, all right, this time around, like we need to define our terms here. What is like free will? What is predetermination? And like what happens now with like the multiverse and like how can we show like character progression for Loki and Sylvie, preferably apart? And not just because I'm like they're my no TP, but just because like well she betrayed him. Like she was all afraid of him betraying her, but she was the one who betrayed him. So she has to kind of come to terms with that decision and figure out who she is now and what she wants. And I feel like that kind of has to be done for them like individually.
No, you're right. It's like we were talking about earlier in this episode, how Loki only really seemed to progress because of Sylvie. And whether you could say like, oh, love changes a man, or nah, he helped himself in the end. Like, whatever you may think, it would be nice to see how they do without each other for once. Like, I don't know what Loki's gonna do now, if he's gonna re-befriend Mobius and Hunter B-15, or what he's gonna be doing now, but I'd like to think that now that he and Sylvie are kind of separate, that they'll stay separate for at least one episode. Come on, folks. I want to see how they both progress as individuals.
Yeah. So, and like I would try to yeah, I would try to get back to like, all right, let's define our terms here. What do we want out of the show? What are the things that we want to explore and how can we explore them through these like character relationships? And well, I mean, the difficulty too is like I'm just not sure where to take like Loki and Mobius and Hunter B-15 in my imagined scenario for season two next because I don't understand like why they don't recognize him. Like what exactly is going on? I feel like they have to explain to me like what exactly was happening with that first before I can can carry on with a future plot point that I could hypothesize about. But that's like
Yeah.
those are like the big picture things, I guess, that I would think about if I were in charge of season two.
If I were in charge of season two, I'd make sure that that would be the last season of Loki.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. Not that I won't watch season two, but I'm trying to figure what they could possibly do to draw it out even a second season, let alone like anything more than that. Because I'm thinking, all right, you know, we got some stuff to work with. The timeline, the sacred timeline is now shattered. Everything is in chaos. Whether or not that'll lead to another multiversal war is up for debate. Not gonna lie though, that does sound kind of cool when I think about it. I just don't want to see a multiple he who remains or whatever fighting each other. I'm done with that.
I don't want to see that. I really don't. I mean, that seems to be the implication of the like with the statue appearing, but I'm like, but if he's coming back and he was such a lame villain, I guess like that would be the other big issue is like, all right, were you planning to bring him back? If so, how do we make him more interesting?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. I'd rather have Renslayer as the villain. You know, she's a good villain.
Yeah, like, I had even said in the last podcast, I was like, all right, she'll leave and then she'll come back to cause more trouble in season two, and I'm okay with that. And I'm still okay with that. But the thing is, now she's, like, trying to chart her own path, so I'm like, well, are you coming back? Or how are you gonna play into this again? So, anyway, I don't know. I'm tired. I don't really have any other thoughts on this series at the moment. Maybe more will come to me later. I just want to say that I really thought nothing could be more gross than Steve kissing Peggy's niece. And I don't know. I guess congrats to you, Marvel. You managed to ick me out even more than I thought possible. So good for you.
They get an award for it and everything. Yeah.
That was not the kind of Carter connection I wanted to make on this episode, but here we are.
Yeah, like that was gross. I knew they were gonna do it, but I really desperately hoped that they wouldn't. Thanks a lot, Marvel. I didn't want to sleep tonight.
All right. You know what I would do for sure in season two is like people like they're together and someone just makes a really big ick face, like ugh. Like I need someone to make that face, and I would feel infinitely better. Just I need someone to just make that face. Just, you know what face I'm talking about? That like just the most grossed out. Like you just smelled like a dead fish kind of smell. Like kind of face. Like you're just like ugh. That is what I want.
Yeah.
Just for the humor. Like I don't say that just to like bash on the ship or anything. Like I think that would genuinely be funny. It's played right, like it would be really funny.
Oh man, that would be nice. I would love someone to be like, oh, what the hell is this? Oh, what fresh hell is this?
Yeah, exactly. Or makes some kind of barred remark and just like, oh well,
no. Honey, no. That would be nice. I also kind of hope that Sylvie becomes the new villain, because then it'll just destroy that ship entirely for me.
Oh, dude, that would be amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, because literally when the two were fighting in the episode, I'm like, yes, 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 fight, because then you won't be gross and lovey-dovey and no shared looks. Yes, fight. And then, oh, no. Oh, crap, that was sexual tension fighting. Crap. You know?
I just like, here I am again saying like, y'all said it was sexual tension, but to me it was just tension. There is such a thing as just tension between a man and a woman that doesn't have to be sexually charged. Like it exists, I promise you, from personal experience. That there can be a tension, okay, between two different sexes, and it is so aggravating. And not at all like what played out on my screen today. Anyways, sorry, I was clearly bringing too much of the real world energy to this conversation, but
it's fine. It's better than anything we just watched right now. Literally, just yes, it was tension, but I need a lot of animosity here, folks. I need it right now. I need the Sylvie Loki ship to die. For those who like the ship, then, you know, sorry.
I'm not sorry. It is genuinely gross to me. And I don't feel like any Sylvie Loki shippers are still listening to us at this point, if there were any at the beginning. And honestly, yeah, yeah, you're not gonna hear anything good out of my mouth about that ship, so, like, you know, carry on your pleasant way. So
yeah, just make the dead fish smell face, folks. Just, it ain't right. Make Sylvie the villain. Make her the villain, so that way there's just no chance of those two ever reconciling in any way. No, thank you. Just. Besides, Sylvie was a more interesting villain than this guy, the He Who Shall Remains, ever was. Like, when she was the unknown variant.
Yeah.
Like, she was a good villain.
She was. And is. And, like, could be. You're right, though. I think that could be a really interesting direction they could take. Because,
okay.
Yeah.
Manifestation powers. Throw that out there. Sylvie, the villain.
Sylvie, the villain.
You know, hashtag Sylvie, the villain. Come on. It's out there now, universe. Just take it. Take it, if nothing else. Actually, if nothing else, get our boy the jet ski.
I don't care about anything else. I still want him on that jet ski, and I don't understand why I wasn't given that, but I guess if they had to land on a cliffy like that, like, I guess it kind of made sense, but the cliffy made me so angry in so many other ways that it's kind of like, what? You couldn't even give me that? So, anyway. All right.
So,
yeah.
Any lingering thoughts, or?
No, I think that's really it. I'm done with my ranting. And I honestly, as soon as we're done with this podcast, I don't think I'm going to think about Loki for the rest of the night, which is so weird for me. Like, usually I'm, like, up thinking about, even when, after we watched Black Widow, I kept thinking about it. I was like, oh, and I thought about this character moment. I thought about this moment, you know, and, like, even though I do have, like, mixed feelings about the movie, like, which honestly don't really have anything even to do with the movie, if that makes any sense. But, like, I thought about it a lot, and I'm still thinking about it. But, like, with the Loki series, I think as soon as we're done talking about it, I'm not going to really think about it. And that's the part that, like, bums me out.
Yeah, it wasn't really memorable, honestly. What's the next Marvel thing? Is it Marvel What If?
Yes.
Like, okay.
I'm going to die.
I literally just want to see Captain Carter. That's all I want to see.
All day, every day.
Every day. So whenever that comes, what, like in August? Yeah, I'm ready for that. I need that right now.
That'll be awesome. Because I think
that's so much more fun.
We'll be a lot perkier, listeners, in case you're, like, new to this podcast and they're like, man, they're such a downer. Like, I promise, like, we talk
about... We're not usually like this.
We're not usually like this, okay? Usually I'm the one to, like, be the most forgiving of Marvel ever. Like, I think Caroline and Jennifer can attest to this.
Yep.
So, like, just saying, like, you get me talking about Peggy Carter, Steve Rogers, even Thor, man. My energy is, like, way up. But no, I mean, seriously though, like, it's been an interesting journey, if nothing else, with the Loki series. And, you know, I guess we'll find out what happens next with season 2, and that's all I'll say. In the meantime, though, thank you all so much for listening to us on Nerd Alert Girls. Really appreciate, you know, people who have, stuck with us even through our downer moments on this podcast. And if you want to support us, you can hit us up and follow us on Tumblr, on our website, nerdalertgirls.tumblr.com, or on Twitter at nerdalertpod. You can also email us at nerdalertgirlspodcast@gmail.com. And of course, all that contact info I will put in the episode description for this podcast. Anything else? Oh, yes. And if you have time, leave us a review on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts, so that more people can find us. Because we are women who talk about Marvel and character development and relationships and good acting and good storytelling and anything Marvel related, we are here to cover it. So, yeah. And also, like, in the works, in case people were wondering, we have indeed seen the Black Widow movie, and, you know, part of the issue is, like, again, we'll be, like, traveling and stuff. So not sure when we will be able to release that episode. But I think we will want to watch it at least one more time before we do the review, right, Jen?
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, that's something that I'm, like, gonna rewatch and keep thinking about for sure. So, like, take what you will from that. That's, like, my spoiler-free review. So we'll be back and ready to go as soon as we can with that Black Widow review and deep dive, because I really do love talking about Natasha as a character, and that'll be really exciting, I think. To do just before the What If series. So otherwise, yeah, that's anything else, Jen? I forget anything?
Nope, just that the Loki, the show, is a succubus, and I just want to go to sleep now.
No. Yeah. Alright, well, yeah, so thank you all again so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on Nerd Alert!
Nerd Alert!
Girls.
Girls. Adios.
Bye.